43. Luke chapter 8, verse 43. Luke chapter 8, verse 43 says, "And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood was stanched. And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, 'Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?' And Jesus said, 'Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that a virtue is gone out of me.' And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace.'" You may be seated this morning. We'll stop the reading of the Word of God right there. I ask you to join me in a word of prayer. Father, as we bow in your presence, thank you, Lord, for the Lord's day. Thank you. I've looked forward all week, Lord, to come back to your house. I ask God that you'd help us to receive the Word of God this morning. We need help, Lord. We need cleansing, refreshing. We need salvation, sanctification. We need you, Lord, to draw us closer to you. We ask, Lord, you'd bless this church. I ask God you put a hedge around about it, keep the very wiles of the devil and the things of the world outside. Help us, Lord, to be more like you and less like ourselves. If there be one here among us that's lost and undone this morning, I ask God that you'd save them. Do that eternal work that only you can do this morning. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we come to this scripture, Jesus Christ here was walking, and it seemed like that he had gotten more popular. There's more people that had started following him. Some was following just to see the miracles. Some was following just curiosity. Some was just for the popularity. I believe there was some true people there that was seeking for salvation. I believe that all types were following him. And he came upon Jairus, says the ruler of the synagogue. He was going to his house to help his child, and on his way, as his crowd, as you can see, going down the street, and he's headed into Jairus' house. All of a sudden, there's a woman. And the woman had pretty much come to her wits' ends, and she thought, if I could only touch the hem of his garment. The Bible says that he came in the Old Testament with healing in his wings. And there's rabbis and those Jewish men would wear that outer tunic and the outer robe, and they'd have what phalanges, I believe what they call them, fingers or little tassels at the end, you'd call them. And the Bible says that they called them their wings. And she thought that if I could only touch those wings, if I could only touch the hem of his garment, I don't need for him to recognize me. I don't need to go to him face to face. If I can just go from the rear and I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. Amen. I will tell you that she had a problem with blood, it says. I want you to understand something, that we all, when we was born in this world, had a problem with blood. We got tainted blood from our grandfather Adam, and it's been passed down from year to year. And it's not that you are doing bad, which we all do. It's not that these sins and that sin, but it is where all sin and that sin occurred, all the way back in the Garden of Eden, and that sin line has been passed down, and it's a problem inside our blood. That's why it takes blood. The Bible says that it's the blood, it's the life of the flesh, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul, for it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord. You don't know salvation. You don't know to be born again. I'm telling you, you still have a problem in the blood. And if you don't get that fixed, if you don't come to the great physician, if you don't come and touch the hem of his garment this morning, I'm telling you, you're walking out of here on dangerous ground. I'm telling you, you can wake up and your next stop can be the very depths of hell. Amen. You say, oh, it won't happen to me. Oh, it's happened to thousands and thousands and thousands that thought the very same thing, that they'd have tomorrow, that they'd have some future day down the road. But the Bible says today is the day of salvation. I'm telling you, if I wasn't 100% sure that this blood problem had been taken care of, I'd run up here this morning. I'd lift up my hand of faith and I'd grab the hem of that garment and I'd be healed by the power of Christ, so all sin can ever be forgiven you. That's what I do this morning. But as this woman I want to preach about, this little woman here came to him, and I'm going to tell you what was her way of trying to fix this blood problem. What was her way of trying to fix this blood problem? It says that first of all, she went to man. I'm going to tell you, I know that people have real medical conditions, and that's not what I'm talking about, but I truly do believe that a majority of these people that are going on this medicine for different ailments of anxiety and these type things, I'm telling you, the problem is not anxiety. I believe their problem is their relationship with the Lord. Amen. I'm telling you that they know something down inside them's dead, and they realize that they are in need of something, and they go to man and try their best to get man to fix their problems. I'm going to tell you, I think we've got a lot of good men in this church. I look up to a lot of them. They're a lot of good men, and you probably look up to them, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm telling you, you follow them around long enough, and them men will find a ditch somewhere. You'll find a crack in their heart. You'll find something wrong with him. If you follow man any length of time, you'll find yourself in a heap of trouble. I'm telling you, man can't help you. That man that's sitting over there in the Vatican, they call the Pope, he can't help you. Any man of his last name of Graham can't help you. Any of those famous preachers on TV, they can't help you. Your pastor this morning can't help you. I'm telling you, turn your gaze unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Look unto him and be saved. Look unto him and be healed this morning. I'm telling you, she tried man, and man let her down. Amen. And my daddy was a good man. He worked. He's probably the hardest working man I've ever known. But he never took me to church. And if I just followed my daddy and never followed anything else, I'd had a good job and I'd had a good work ethic. And I'd been able to build houses and all those things my daddy was really good at. But if that's all I ever done was to follow my daddy into those things, I'd died and went to hell. I'm glad that one day God drawed me and called me. I'm glad that he saved me. I'm glad he done what my daddy couldn't do. And at that moment, I got a new daddy. I got a father up in heaven who always answers the phone, who never gets sick, who never leads me astray. I'm glad you can't trust man, but you can trust him this morning. Amen. She tried man, and then she tried medicine. I don't think there's anything wrong with medicine. If I got an ear infection, I want some penicillin. And, you know, if I got some aches and pains, I like to take me a little Advil. And if I get a little stomach problem, I like to take me some Pepto-Bismol. Amen. And I hope you do too before you come in here. Amen. But I'm telling you what, I ain't nothing wrong with that. But I'm telling you, medicine can't fix the real problem. Amen. And them people out there, they're hooked on meth and they're hooked on drugs, and I tell you what, I feel sorry for them, and I understand what addiction is. I understand that draw and that need of that flesh needing those things. And that's one tool of the devil to keep them always on high, or wanting that higher, or begging that thing. But I'm telling you, them medicines will never help them. them medicines they'll take. It might tell your belly to feel better. It might help your nose to quit running. But I'm telling you, the relationship with the Lord, there's no medicine out there. There's no pill. There's nothing you can take that'll help you. Your problem is with the Lord. Amen. I'd rather go into eternity to my belly hurt and be born again than to be a real healthy somebody on my way to hell. Amen. I heard this the other day and I liked it. He said, if you want to eat wheat or eat, you know, all this fiber and eat all this good, he said, you're just going to die one healthy person. Amen. But you're still going to die. But I'm telling you, no matter what medicine you take on this side, unless you eat of that bread of life, unless you take of Him, unless you've got Him down in your soul and your heart, you're going to die a miserable death. And you'll be everlasting in that lake of fire with the beast and the Antichrist and Lucifer himself. And now you ever be crying out to deaf ears, help me. And that medicine will never help you just like this. That medicine will never help you. She tried man, she tried medicine. She tried money. Said she spent everything she had. And I don't know if you went to the doctor, but when you go to the doctor, you better bring you a wheelbar full of money. Amen. You know, a doctor come into me, my last doctor's appointment, he come into me and he poked on me, prodded on me about 2 or 3 minutes, and then I got a bill for $400 or $500. And I thought, man, I'm in the wrong profession right there. Amen. Two probes and a prod looked in one ear and charged me $400. I thought, Lord have mercy. I want to pay that old boy, you know, $20 an hour and I'd have him in and out. I went small talk with you. I'd say problem right here. You know, I don't talk about the grandkids. Don't talk about anything. But I'm telling you that money cannot help you. Now, if you got too much money, bring it here and we'll help pay off our mortgage. Amen. I mean, if you got too much and you don't know what to do with it, you bring it here and we'll help us get out of debt. And I mean, I'm going to tell you, it ain't the money that's evil. It's the love of money. It's what the Bible says. Money's just a tool. You got to have it. You got to pay your bills. And I don't think much of a man that don't pay his bills. Amen. You ought to be right with the outside world. And you should, a good Christian should have good credit. Should pay their bills when they're going to say, I got my road paid. Amen. And I had half the money. I didn't have it all. By faith, I still ain't got it all. But I called the old boy and I said, I tell you what, I'm going to give you a check for half of it and I'll give you the other half. Take me about a month. I'll get up the other half. And he said, well, you don't have to send me none now if you don't want to. And I said, no, let me send that. He said, I like you. He said, you're a real man. You're up front. He said, I'm never worried about you paying me. You've paid me all the time. And I'm telling you what, that made me feel good. Amen. I had a good respect. And I said, all right. He said, I ain't worried about it at all. He said, you like your payment. And I said, well, it's black and it's still out there. So I guess it's all right. Amen. But I'm telling you, money, you can spend it. You can have it. But whether you're rich, whether you're poor, amen, that is not going to help you with the problem that you've got. Amen. Our mind will get so much on our bank accounts. Look at all those zeros, or look at all that red numbers, look at what's going on, I've got this and I've got that. Have you little money, you think you're better than the other boy beside you, because you got this and got that. But I'm telling you, money's just a tool, but it can never help you in salvation. You don't buy your way in. It ain't how much money you give to the church. I'm telling you, the only way to get born again is to cry out to Him and touch the hem of His garment. Amen. That's what she tried, all three things. And as she tried all three of those things, she was still sick. She was still sick. I've seen men nowadays try all three of those things, and they're still lost and undone without God. But what, secondly this morning, not only what she tried, but what was hindering her? What was hindering her to come to Jesus? First of all, what was hindering her was the people. There's people everywhere. And I'm going to tell you, people will hinder you on your walk and try to get closer to Jesus more than you ever seen. And it's unfortunate, but in my life, it's been my family that's hindered me more than anything trying to get closer to the Lord. It's my mother, my father said this, or they'd say that, or my sister would say that. I've had church members hinder me trying to get close to the Lord. Anthony, you're preaching too hard. Anthony, you need to stand still. You need to stay behind the pulpit. You need to do this. You need to do that. You're too loud. You're too quiet. I mean, I've heard it all the time. I want to get to places and say, just shut up and leave me alone. Amen. But I'm telling you, people will hinder you and hinder you. And this woman had all these people around and she couldn't get through the press. But I'm telling you this morning, if I need the touch of him and his garment, I don't let the man on the right side or the woman on the left side hinder you this morning. Run unto him. Push them aside, hallelujah, and say, I need him. I need him. I need to touch him. Amen. I like old Donald Trump. I like his boldness. I like any man to be bold. You know, if you're going to do something, do it. And he was at some worldly conference, and there was some prime minister walked in front of him. You've not seen the video. And so he took that prime minister and he pushed him out of the way, put his suit on, and he stood out there. He said, I'm the president. You know, nobody's standing in front of me. I don't know if you like that or not, but I kind of liked it. Amen. I like him from the United States. That's where I'm from. I liked it. Amen. But I'm telling you this morning, if you've got some hindrance of some person in your life, they're going to hinder you to hell. I'm telling you, get that out of your way. If you've got to physically push them out of the way, push them out of the way, throw them out of the way. If it's a spiritual thing, get past that. But people will hinder you not only coming to the Lord or your walk with the Lord. I'm telling you, if you get your eyes on the people, I'm telling you, it'll hinder yourself. Get your eyes, get your heart, get it fixed upon him and touch him for the healing that you need. Don't let people hinder you. Amen. Amen. I noticed this woman didn't come around front and present herself. She hid. Can you see her? And got down and come from the back. Amen. She was worried about what everybody thought. And she had a disease that wasn't too popular. Amen. Wasn't too much to talk about. She tried everything and probably everybody was, oh, that goes old so-and-so. She's tried everything. That's old so-and-so. And she's so worried about what people was thinking about her. I've got past that a long time ago. Amen. Amen. I don't care what none of you think about me. I don't even care what my wife thinks about me. She's married. Hallelujah. She's got to put up with me. Amen. I'm telling you, y'all voted me in. You got to put up with me too. But I'm telling you, I don't worry about those things. I worry about what he thinks about me. Yeah, and I try to please my master and I try to be good for my king, but I'm telling you people don't bother me, but I'm telling you what, we're such living in a society that we so worry about what other people think about us that we're taking pictures and we're taking those pictures and sucking off our bellies and our double chins and we're trying to make ourselves look good and women are doing little fish faces now. You're some doing taking a picture and then they're so worried about how many likes they got. I would put that mess out there to this world and put myself out there. And you know, most time you see that stuff, they put a big picture on Facebook. What's everybody say? Boy, she's gotten fat, hasn't she? Boy, she sure has let herself go, hasn't she? Boy, she's gotten older, hasn't she? Boy, them youngins, is that the best way they can dress them youngins? And I think, don't put that junk out there. They won't say that about you. Amen. I tell you, we live in a society that's all they're worried about is what fellow man thinks. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, don't worry about that this morning. They're going to talk bad about you no matter what you do. I mean, if you do right, they're going to talk bad about you. If you do wrong or good, it don't matter. They're going to talk about you. I'm telling you, the only thing you need to worry about is that issue of blood, that problem that's lasted for eternity on you, and realize if you touch the hem of his garment, that you'll have eternal life. Don't worry about what's on Facebook, Instagram. Worry about what's on the inside of you, and run to him this morning. Touch the hem of his garment. She's so worried about what people thought. But you know, this interesting thing, Miss Mary, that thirdly, she's not only worried about the people was hindering her, she's worried about what they thought was hindering her coming to Jesus, but she was worried about how she would be received by Jesus. Because he said that when she said, a virtue had gone out of me, that she came trembling. She was worried about this encounter. She was nervous about this encounter. She was so scared about how Jesus would receive her. She probably thought, I'm not worth it. He'll never love me. He'll never accept me. He don't want nothing to do with me. So I'm not going to present myself. I'm just going to sneak up behind him. I just want to touch him. He'll never accept me. And that was hindering her. I'm telling you this morning, he cares for you. He loves you. I'm telling you, and you've never been in such a worse place that he couldn't reach down and grab you. You've never been in such worse sin that he can't touch you. I'm telling you, come this morning. Touch the hem of his garment. Tell you he loves you this morning. Amen. She said, oh, I'm so worried about it. And how did he just said, called her this, daughter. That's the first word he said to her. Daughter. Not you old dirty dog, you old sick thing. That sickness you got, that's part because of sin. Amen. I gave you a perfect body and you lost that because of sin. You deserve what you got. You deserve every bit of that. You dare come to the King of Kings, the Creator, and ask me for anything? No, he didn't say that. He said, daughter. Come here. Come here, daughter. I remember when I was sitting in church, and I never went to church. I remember I was sitting about right over there. It's David, ain't it? David, I was sitting about where you at, but I was on this side. And that preacher got to preaching at this kid. And that draw, he talked about that draw this morning. Sonny, he's getting bigger and bigger than I was. And I said, oh God. And I said, you know what's hindering me? He don't know what I've done. And I said that about God. I know that's stupid. But I said it. Oh, Bishop, he don't know what I've done. If he only knew the depths of my sin and the darkness is down in my heart, he don't want nothing to do with me. But look at me now. I remember coming up out of that pew. I remember walking down that aisle. I remember getting down in that altar. I didn't say all the right words. I didn't know what to say. I just said, oh, God, help me, help me, help me, help me. I come up out of that altar. I got to preaching, hallelujah. I didn't even call to preaching. I mean, I got to dancing and a shouting and a running. My wife was going absolutely crazy. And I realized at that moment that somebody loved me. You know what I done that morning? I touched that garment. I touched that garment. And I got born again. That was her hinder. What's hindering you? What's hindering you? Now, I'm going to preach as a pastor for a little bit. This church is going well. But I'm a type of person, I never get satisfied. I'm not satisfied. Amen. No, no, no. We're going well and we got visitors. And some of you like preaching. You start, I can see them tears going down your face and you get in there with me. I think I scare some of you about half to death, but I'm going to scare you until you get to love me. Amen. And you'll say amen or oh me and hallelujah. You're getting in there and you're understanding. You're buying into what I'm offering. I really believe that. But when I give an altar call, dead. And I think, oh my gosh. And I don't want Anthony to draw you, but you know what I'm going to start praying, David? I hope y'all are miserable. That's a good pastor, isn't it? I hope y'all are miserable. I hope you can't eat. Amen. I hope your feet stink. I mean, I'm going to pray everything in the world on you people until you come up here and touch that hem of his garments. And when that altar call comes, you won't say, well, they're looking at me. You ever thought about that, Brady? They're going to make fun of me. You get to that point where, whoa! I need healing. I don't care. I need to be touched. Hallelujah. And this altar starts filling up on this side. We got two or three over here praying for the grandbabies. And we got two or three here praying for the... And I'm not talking about God is good, God is great, let us bless him for our food. I'm talking about, oh, from the whole heart to soul saying, oh, God. Oh, Lord, help my babies. Oh, God. We got a mom over here weeping for a lost one. Then we'll have one right in the middle, and we'll have a birthing chamber. And I have one right in the middle going, wah! Somebody getting born again. That's what'll happen. That's what'll happen. I'm going to pray it on you. You say, well, that's harsh. I'm going to do whatever it takes. Amen. Thirdly, and I'm done this morning. We see what her fixes was. We see what her hindrances was. But let's see how she was received by the Master. And I'm done. Daughter, what did he give her? He gave her a cure. The Bible says immediately. He didn't have to go through 10 steps of faith. He didn't have to count the rosary beads. He didn't have to do a work. He didn't have to say something or do something or even get baptized. Nothing like that. I'm telling you, it's nothing we got to do. It's by grace and grace alone. Hallelujah. He's already done all the work. Hallelujah. I just come up here and receive the gift. Hallelujah. I'm glad it's all of him. She was cured when man and money and medicine couldn't do anything. One touch just to the hem of his garment. And she was healed. Do you know down in your soul you're cured? Or you just got a covering on? You got your mask on? I'm good. I've got everybody deceived. Oh no. Deep down in my soul, David, I'm cured. Hallelujah. I'll never face none of those rotten sins that I'm even going to commit tomorrow, Rita. I'll never face none of those things. He has chosen to forget those things. I think when I get to heaven, I think now in this little temple of mine, when I get there, I'd like to say I'm so sorry. But I know what he'll say. What for, Anthony? I'm so sorry. What for? What for? You are absolutely perfect in my eyes. You're absolutely perfect in my eyes. When I see you, I see my son. I see his righteousness. You're a child of the king. There's no blemish in you. You are perfect in my sight. You ever been cured? I've been cured. Hallelujah. I didn't get religion. Amen. I'm preaching those prisons and them boys get jailhouse religion. You know, I remember when I was in the Marine Corps, I got thrown in a hooscow. I got hooscow religion. I tell you what, I was reading my Bible and everything in there. I wanted to come home. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, I remember when I got cured. I remember one time I was preaching in a prison and I was hammering down. And there's a big old boy like you, David. Big old black fella there. And I was preaching and he stood up in the back and I thought he's going to rush me. And I stopped and I said, sir, can I help you? He said, I'm stretching my back. Keep preaching, preacher. I said, hallelujah. I thought I'd take him on, you know. Yeah, he stood up that prison. I thought, Lord of mercy, he's going to get me. She got cured. But what else does the Bible say there? He says unto her. He gives her more than that. Comfort. Comfort. I'm glad that my sins are gone, but there's something about comfort, amen. I remember I threw a vertebrae sideways in my neck, and it went absolute sideways and hit my, it was like this close to hitting the spinal cord, and I remember there was no comfort for me. I remember I had my arm. I sat in church with my arm like this. The only way I could find comfort. You think people make fun of you? You felt like I did. I was stood on my head. I didn't care. I mean, I couldn't sleep. I'd go from the lazy boy to this bed to that bed. I mean, I was crooked up sideways. I was doing everything I could, and the pain was just radiating down my. It'd take my whole body. It was seizing. I'd sleep 30 minutes a night, and I went to the doctor, and if he had said, "We're going to cut your nose off," I'd say, "Take it," because I just want this pain. I'll do anything I can for comfort. Amen. And I remember I come out of that operating room, and it was gone. And I thought, glory to God. And I was scared. I was doing this. I was turning my head a little bit, you know, this way. You know, I thought I was going to, you know, throw out a boulder or nut or something, you know. And I did a little bit as well. I was like, you know, I thought I was going to hear, but it didn't. It just worked really good. I mean, I was like, thank God. Comfort. The pain is gone. Do you remember coming up out of that altar and feeling that comfort? That all that's gone anymore, amen? I don't have to worry about dying. That's comforting to me. I don't have to worry about my next meal. He's going to take care of me. Hallelujah. I don't have to worry about a billion years from now. He's going to take care of me. Hallelujah. That is comfort that I can rest in His graces, that I don't have to do anything else for that. That I have comfort, comfort, comfort. And then the last thing He says in that verse is what? Peace. Peace. Now, my wife walked out, so it's a good time to tell you this. I've been married 31 years, and I've always wanted peace. I've always wanted peace. I didn't believe in flying saucers until I got married. Now I believe in flying saucers and cups and plates and, you know, everything else. Amen. You've been married too. You know how that is. But peace. Not peace between fellow man. You'll still have that. You got on these roadways. Amen. I was out on Boone's Creek down through there, and I was coming down through there, and I was trying to get over, and I got a little close to the car, and boy, he blowed on the horn, and I politely got him to check his brakes for me, and he done a good job. I mean, I slammed mine on, and he didn't hit me, so he done really well. I was proud of him. But, I mean, you'll not have peace between men. But now I've got peace between God. Before there was, I was an enemy of God. Because I had sin. I'd rebelled. I had it all over my heart. But now when I look at God, I've got peace with Him. And He looks at me, there's no more animosity. I've got peace with God. And I'm going to tell you this morning, if you're a child of God this morning, and you're born again, He's not an old man up out of the club. No. There's peace. He loves